All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, we're in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke. And we talked a little bit about the rich young ruler last time. And I believe that the rich young ruler was the Apostle Paul. He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. And I believe I'm the only one that ever made that connection, that is, in this age, or of any of the preachers that I know or have heard. But he fits all the parameters, you know. And he was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. And he boasted about the, you know, who he was and everything. And finally, you know, the Lord hit him right on the nose when he said, which of the commandments, you know, or how do I get into the kingdom of heaven? Will keep the commandments. And he said, which? And Jesus named five of the last six, but the way he did it, it appeared that he named all six. And then the young man boasted, well, all of these have I kept from my youth up. Now, the Lord didn't argue with him about it. I doubt seriously that he kept all of the five of the last six commandments. But he said, well, if thou wilt be perfect, and this is when he gave him the knockout punch, if thou wilt be perfect, sell what you have and give to the poor, and then what? If you take all the accounts together, take up your cross and follow me. Now, a Jew should have understood, because the scripture teaches us that cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And the scripture also teaches us, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So when he hit him on the nose with, well, you will be, you know, perfect, sell what you have and give to the poor. Now, he didn't tell him he had to give it all, but covetousness was the primary commandment. The rest of them he could kind of gloss over and make himself think that he was keeping them. But that one, you know, he had a definite love of money. Now, after that, to take us into our study, and we're going to be in this probably up to the time of what the so-called Christian world calls Easter. And Easter is found, the word is found once in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, and the translators were very dishonest. They translated Pascha as Easter, or gave it that name. Pascha in Greek is the equivalent of Passover in Hebrew. And so Paul wanted to be in Jerusalem for the Passover. But there was so much influence from the Roman church as they adopted. Basically, they just assimilated people. And you can see this today. If you go to Alaska, you will find totem poles all over the place. And yet the majority of the native Eskimos are Roman Catholic because of missionary work that the Catholics did out there. But they didn't get rid of their totem poles. They just cross themselves when they pass it. No. And it's just assimilation rather than conversion. So now we come and we see a lot of that, and things were assimilated into by the King James translators from the Roman church into our observance, for example, of Easter. Now, Easter is a pagan feast. It's in the amongst the Anglo-Saxons, it was the goddess Astara. And there are various other names for the goddess of spring or the goddess of fertility. And what does everybody, you know, with the children, what do we have at the White House? We have an Easter egg roll. And what do we do at Easter? Well, we have an Easter parade, but we also have to give Easter baskets. So we have eggs and bunnies, and everything speaks of fertility. See? And so that all came directly from a pagan religious system. And because the translators were not honest, they, you know, it became a very popular feast. So they wanted to divorce themselves from Judaism. And in order to divorce themselves from Judaism and make Christianity something altogether different, and really, it's, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in this age, in you all. See? But Easter, you know. And I can remember we used to go to one chiropractor, and all of the gals in the office there were very plain Jane. You know, what a Christian woman's supposed to look like, you know. Like a mud fence, I guess. But anyway, we commented one day, and somehow or other Easter came up. Maybe it was getting close to Easter. This one girl said, "Oh, I love Easter." Yeah. Well, what is it that people love about Easter? Is it the fact that our Lord was crucified, buried, and arose from the dead? Or is it all the other folderol that goes with it? You know? And so we've adopted a pagan system under the canopy of Christianity, and the way that Easter is traditionally observed, it would make our Lord a Sabbath breaker, and it would make our Lord a liar. Remember in the 12th chapter of Matthew, Jesus told the Jews, "An evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and no sign will be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah." What was it? That as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be what? 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, a casual reading, if you read Matthew, and you read, you know, like most people do, they try to read through the Bible in a year, so they maybe read a couple of chapters at a time. And sometimes we have chapter divisions right in the middle of sentences, you know. And we definitely have new verses in the middle of sentences. And so context can be broken up. And so Easter, you know. Well, the word appears once in the book of Acts, in the 12th chapter. But what is the word? It's Pascha. It's Passover. And so, Christ was what? He was taken on the 10th day of the month. Let's go back, first of all, to the 12th chapter of John. And it wasn't so long ago that Eric Griffin spent some time with us. But we're coming towards that time of the year when the Jews celebrate Passover and the so-called Christian world celebrates Easter. And if we begin reading in at verse 55 of the 11th chapter. "And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, 'What think ye, that will he not come to the feast?'" No. Now, the Jews had already put out if anybody knew where he was, they were to reveal it. In other words, he was going to die. And what the Jews didn't realize, that they were actually fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures with respect to the Passover and with respect to the 22nd Psalm, for example, is a description of crucifixion. But the Jews themselves did not crucify. The Jews stoned people to death. Yeah. And so, but the Romans crucified. and they wanted Jesus crucified, but they were so ignorant of their own scriptures, they didn't realize that demanding his crucifixion was actually fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures, which they were supposed to be expert in, but were not. And we have a lot of that going around in the world today. Okay, so it says, then they sought for Jesus. Let's pick up at verse 57. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given commandment, and I was talking about it before reading it. Now, both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it that they might take him. So, they put out, a hit on Jesus. They want him taken so that they can judge him according to their law, but not lawfully, and have the Romans crucify him. So then we get a time statement. And John says very little about the Passover, but he gives us the time frame. And everyone that I've known that's written anything about the Passover and the crucifixion of Christ, his burial and resurrection. I can remember, what was his name? He was Southern Baptist Greek scholar. He did backflips to try to show that there were 3 days between Saturday as close to sunset and Sunday, and he doesn't say before dawn. He gets Sunday day in there so they can, and he had a theory. Any part of a day is a day. Okay. So, Christ was, by the time they got him off the cross, they had about enough time to prepare his body for burial, to get it into the grave just as the sun was going down for the beginning the Jewish day begins and ends at sunset. So that would be the beginning of the Jewish Sabbath according to tradition, because according to tradition, Christ was crucified on Friday. But if you count it and look at the 12th chapter of Matthew, there are not 3 days and three nights. That's the sign of the prophet Jonah. So we're not concerned with just getting any part of a day. We have to get 3 days and three nights. So now let's read what John has to say. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, if you know anything about Scripture, okay, the Passover lamb was killed on what is called the preparation of the Passover, which was the 14th day, and it was always killed in the evening or the afternoon, okay? And they would take that lamb and they would take it from the 10th day of the month and examine it till the 14th day of the month, and it had to be found to be without spot and without blemish. Now, when we put all of this together, we're going to see that Jesus came to Bethany on the 9th day of the month. And he came into Bethany, did some things in Bethany, came out of Bethany, made his way all the way up the mount to Jericho is what I meant to say. He came into Jericho, out of Jericho, and we'll study those events in the book of Luke. But right now I want to get the time frame fixed in your mind before we go deal with many of the things that took place 6 days before Passover. So John gives us that time, and he says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, and if I'd gone back a little bit farther, we would have found that he was in the hills of Ephraim. He was hiding, the Jews didn't know where to find him. Okay. And then he makes his trip first to Jericho, and then from Jericho to Bethany, and let's see how it unfolds. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, so 6 from 15 is 9, so this is the ninth day of the month of Abib. And he came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and there they made him a supper. So we get this time frame, okay, that 6 days he came. Now let's go back to our text in Luke, and then we'll go over to both Matthew and Mark as well. And it says here, verse 31 of the 18th chapter, then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Now, what he means by all things that have to do with his being offered as a sacrifice for sin, and he had to be taken on the 10th day of the month. He had to be examined till the 14th day of the month. He had to be put to death on the 14th day of the month and placed in the tomb at the beginning of the 15th. And in order to fulfill the prophecy in Matthew, he had to be there the Jewish day begins with a night. So it's 3 nights and 3 days, and rise from the dead the first day of the week. And we're going to see that that's exactly what he did. But if we try to attach traditional teaching to this, all we get is confused. Let's look at one point of confusion. Okay, the Jews said that Jesus was crucified on Friday, right? And he was placed, on Friday. Placed in the tomb. Okay. So, if he was crucified on Friday, that means at sunset, that was the night of the 15th, and Friday would have been the 14th. So, if you count back, we'll count 14, so the 14th, 13, 12, 11, 10. Okay. So, we got to go back 5 days. So, if we get this right, and if we go back 6 days, we find that he, under that scenario, he would have come to Bethany on the Sabbath. He would have traveled far, much further than he was allowed to travel on the Sabbath. You know, and he would have done that on Sunday. Excuse me, in my mind, getting it mixed up. He would have traveled on Sunday. That would have been okay. Okay, but then it would have to be Palm Monday, because the day that he did all of that traveling was, according to what we just read in John, was 6 days before Passover. So what's the next day, or what begins at sunset? The night of the 10th. What did Mary do for Jesus on the night of the 10th? She anointed him for burial. Okay. And then the next day, by Roman time that John uses, is still the same day by Jewish time. So we have the night, and then we have the day. And so then he would make, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Okay. So it would have to be Palm Monday then, not Palm Sunday. So the Palm Sunday, Good Friday thing just doesn't work mathematically. Now, coming back to this, it says, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, in verse 32, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. All of this was spoken to them by the Lord, but the Jews, his disciples, didn't understand what he was talking about. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. Okay. Now, we're still talking about 6 days before Passover. What does it say in verse 35? And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho. Okay. Now let's go over to the, let's go first of all to the 28th chapter of Matthew. I'll find my spot here in just a moment. Okay, now, it says, this is when he actually makes his entry into Jerusalem. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. Now let's go over to the, I think it's the 10th chapter of Mark. Might be the 11th. Oops, I got to get into Mark if I'm going to find it. Okay, yeah, here we are in the 10th chapter of Mark. And let's begin reading about pick up at verse 46. And they came to Jericho. According to the 10th chapter or the 12th chapter of John, when did they come to Jericho? 6 days before Passover, right? And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Now, son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Okay. And they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage. Remember, if we go back to the Gospel of John, that's when they had the feast for him. So at sunset, it changed from, John uses Roman time, so he goes to midnight. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke use Jewish time. So when he arrived about sunset. So it would be suddenly the 10th of the month. When, according to the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, was the lamb to be selected for, to be put to death on the 14th day of the month? Take a lamb on the 10th day of the month, examine it under the 14th day of the month. It has to be without spot and without blemish. Now, each of these subsequent days, as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, he's examined by the Pharisees, he's examined by the Herodians, he's examined by the Sadducees, he's examined by the chief priests, he's examined by Pontius Pilate, he's examined by Herod. And finally, Pilate said, "What? I find no fault in this just man." And so when he makes that pronouncement, they still wanted to be crucified. And so they took him out and hanged him on a cross. At 9 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. Okay. He didn't die from the effects of crucifixion. He bowed his head and he dismissed his spirit. But he was hanged on a tree because the scripture says, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." And he was not bearing his curse, he was bearing our curse. Because cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So we see how Jesus is fulfilling the Passover lamb to be sacrificed for sin, to be buried according to the sign of the prophet Jonah, to be 3 days and three nights, actually 3 nights and 3 days, and to rise the first day of the week. Or really, actually, he rose immediately after at sunset on Friday, or let's see, on Sunday, on Saturday, he rose at sunset on Saturday, which is the ending of Saturday and the beginning of what? Sunday. So he arose the first day of the week. Okay. And that way, if we count back then and do this thing, we find that Jesus came to Bethany. Okay, he came actually traveled that distance on a Friday, made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Saturday or on the Sabbath day. And when we read in the first chapter of the book of Acts, we find that Bethany was how far from Jerusalem? A Sabbath day's journey. So it was lawful for Jesus to make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. So each one of those days works out so that Saturday was the 10th day of the month, Sunday the 11th, Monday the 12th, Tuesday the 13th, and Wednesday the 14th. So Christ was crucified on Wednesday and placed in the tomb by Jewish time at sunset or the beginning of Jewish Thursday. So he was in the tomb Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, and Saturday day, and rose. When does the Jewish day begin? The first day of the week at sunset on Saturday, as the sun's going down, that's the beginning of Jewish Sunday. So he fulfilled the sign of the prophet Jonah perfectly. And we'll look at it as we get further into this book of Luke, and we'll see how he's examined, and we'll go bounce back and forth between the other Gospels and see all of the people that examined him. And then the final pronouncement by Pilate, I find no fault in this just man. So we see that Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. You know, and we see that he rose from the dead the first day of the week, or actually just at sunset on Saturday, which is the beginning of Jewish Sunday. Okay. So he was 72 hours in the grave, according to the sign of the prophet Jonah. Okay? And he fulfilled it perfectly. So let's go back. I just want to take you on and show you how tricky this is. Just these chapter divisions were not in the original. Okay? And verse divisions are not in the Hebrew or in the Greek text. They've been added in now because they were added to our English Bible as a convenience referencing source, but there's nothing foreordained about the divisions. Okay? Or the divisions of our Bible into chapters and verses wasn't done by God when he gave holy men of old the command to write the various books of the Scripture. So notice what happens here in as we come out of the 10th chapter and into the 11th chapter of Mark. Contextually, we're still in the, and Jesus in verse 52 of the 10th chapter said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now they kept going, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives. Now we have to insert the 12th chapter of John. He came on the 6 days before Passover, or on the 9th day of the month. Now let's go back to John and read what happens next, and then we'll show you how we pick up the context from there. So in John chapter 12, we're going to see the events of the night of what John calls us 6 days before Passover, and by Roman time, that would be correct. And John's the only one of the writers that used Roman time. But we have to harmonize what John says with the other Gospels. So we see there's a change between night and day, so that Jesus is actually, let's watch it here, 12th chapter of John. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Now, he came first to Jericho, healed the blind man going into Jericho, came out of Jericho, he healed two blind men there, and then a little further along the way, he meets with Zacchaeus. Remember, he's the little guy that was too short to see, and he wanted to see Jesus go by, so he climbed a tree, and Jesus bade him to come down, and he had his noon meal getting all these names mixed up, at Zacchaeus' house, and then he continued on to Bethany. Now, that's a pretty good walk, and it's all uphill. You know, so he would have arrived there within a Sabbath day's journey. He would have arrived within a Sabbath day's journey. So that's the distance. It's a little over half a mile, I think, at about 5/8 of a mile, if I remember correctly. Don't quote me on that. But it was the distance from the outside of the Jewish camp into the tabernacle so that they could come from wherever they were pitched in the wilderness to the tabernacle on the Sabbath day and return back to where they lived. And the Jews used that in an interesting way. If they wanted to travel as far as they wanted to, you know, hey, this is going to be a nice weekend and we can get in around the Gulf or something, you know. Okay. Then, in order to be able to do that, they could travel from where they lived to where they worshipped at the tabernacle and then back to where they lived. That would be a full Sabbath day's journey, two directions, okay? Okay, so what the Jews did traditionally, so that they go anywhere that they wanted, they would set up a little shrine or some place of worship, you know, earlier in the week, wherever they wanted to go. So they'd go from where they lived to that, and then they would have another place where they could have a pallet where they could lay down, and they go to that. So they'd travel as far as they wanted to travel. Yeah. But they were going from where they worship or where they live to where they worship to where they lived. Okay? And by doing that, they could travel much farther than a Sabbath day's journey. But they were always accusing Jesus of breaking the Sabbath. Okay. So again, we see how tradition, you know, you can take tradition and make the scriptures mean anything, everything, and nothing. So in this 12th chapter then, Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. And he first of all came to Jericho, and then after that, he came to Bethany. So he arrived before sunset, okay? Then after sunset, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and there they made him a supper, see? And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Yeah. And now John tells us a little bit about the character of Judas. And this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. He was the treasurer of the group. And from time to time he'd dip in into the treasury, okay? Then what's Jesus saying? This is so important when we think about the Passover, when the lamb was selected. And when Jesus was pointed out as being the Passover lamb. Let her alone against the day of my what? Burying has she done this. So then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my burying. Has she kept this? For what? The poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. You know, we got to get rid of this evidence, see, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, what's it say next? Now, we're talking in terms of, Jewish time, or in John, in terms of Roman time, and then Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in terms of Jewish time. So on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now let's go back to Mark, and then we'll go back to our text in Luke. Okay, so we just read verse 52. And they followed him in the way. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany, this is before the dinner. So they're arriving at Bethany. And there they made him a supper. And it was during that supper, or after that supper, that Mary came and anointed Jesus. And what was the reason for his anointing? Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. What day of the week was it? Jewish time. It was the night of the 10th. What day of the week was the lamb to be selected as the Passover lamb to be put to death on the 14th? The lamb had to be selected on the 10th. Was Jesus said, let her alone against the day of my burial. Has she done that? So we have the Passover lamb in Jesus Christ selected. When on the night of Roman time, it would be the ninth day of the month, but by Jewish time, it would be the night of the 10th. So the lamb was selected on the 10th. And the next day then, because at midnight, as far as John is concerned, it's another day. See? But by Jewish time, it's the same day. So this is where it gets confusing. You have to study. See? And so, and when they came there, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and he saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, I think we've got just about enough time to show this historical and allegorical truth that's in Mark, but not in Luke. Okay. And he says, he saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man set, loose him, and bring him. Now, if we go back to when Abraham was told to offer his son, what did he do in the morning? He saddled his ass. He put everything for the sacrifice on the ass. And in that in the 12th chapter of Exodus, we learn one thing. But if we go back in with Abraham, when he took his son, they traveled 3 days to the foot of the mount. He said, tarry ye here with the ass. So they took the burden off the ass and placed it on the son. And who who bore the burden to the top of the mount? The son. Okay. So it says here, you find a colt tied. Now, asses have to be redeemed, and men have to be redeemed, according to the 12th chapter of Exodus. So here we have a colt tied up where? And where two ways meet. Is that in this text here? In verse 4. Okay. So, and you shall bind a colt tied whereon never man sat, loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door. Now, who is the door? Jesus said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in. So where are we before salvation? We're bound in trespasses and sin outside the door. Okay. And what is with the gospel? Do what? Loose him. I have need of him. Isn't it amazing that people like you and me, that the Lord needs us to be able to get his gospel into the world? Yeah, we're sinners. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And like this ass, we're tied outside the door. But then when we recognize that Jesus is the door and we believe him, then we've been loosed and we're brought to Jesus to be used of him in the furtherance of the gospel. That's why he gave us a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we'll continue with this. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways meet or met. Okay. Jesus says, I am the way of what? The truth and the life. And there is a way, what? That seemeth right unto a man. So where were we tied up? We've got a choice. Which way we're going to go? In a way which seems right to the man. What is that? That's man's morality. What are all of the religions of the world based upon? Man's morality. That's one way you can go. Or you can go the other way with the Lord. See? So we were tied at the junction of two ways, you know, a way which seemeth right unto a man, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so, continuing on then, you cited this place, and they loosed him. So, through the preaching of the gospel, how were we loosed? Did Jesus himself loose us, or did he use a human instrument to loose us? You know, faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He gave the church the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So by going into all the world and preaching the gospel, we're always going with the door, Jesus, that's one way, and the way the world thinks. So we find people, wherever we go, tied, where two ways meet. Okay? And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? And he said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. So when they were challenged for, hey, that's not your ass, you know. But the owner of the ass, when he was confronted, he says, yeah, let him have him. And Jesus used that ass to make his what? Triumphal entry into Jerusalem. See? So, who do you suppose that ass represents? The church. You know? Yeah. We're dead in trespasses and sin. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But the Lord, remarkably, has need of us. Because he's in heaven and we're on earth. And faith comes how? By hearing. And hearing how? By the word of God. So he needs human instruments, sinful men that have been saved by his grace, not holy, righteous people with no faults. Sinful men that have been redeemed. He paid for our sins with his blood, so he's no longer charging us with our sins, past, present, and future, because God's omniscient, and he chose us when? Before the foundation of the world. So if he chose us before the foundation of the world, he chose us from all eternity. So when we actually come to faith, we realize that we've had eternal life all along because there's no failures. You know? Yeah, we have to We have to preach the gospel, and God knows it's going to happen, and there can't be any failures in our preaching. You know, I can't say something that's going to upset somebody so much that they won't believe. You know, and I've done it. You know, I've done it. You know, not willfully, but sometimes the truth upsets people. And so when you preach the truth, the people get upset about it. But it's the very thing that upsets them is the thing that can save their soul. You know? And if you tell a Jew, you can't get to heaven by keeping the law, he's going to get upset. If you tell a Muslim, all that stuff that Muhammad wrote about in the 7th century, it's all hogwash. What happened to everybody before then? You know, we have to go all the way back to the garden. And God promised the seed of the woman in the judgment of the serpent. Who is the seed of the woman? Third chapter of Galatians, the seed of the woman is Jesus Christ. It's not the Jews. It's Jesus Christ. It's a Jew. You know, the only one that ever kept the law, the only one who ever could keep the law. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word, for these beautiful types that are there if we have the eyes to see them. And it's amazing. There's so much truth that's hidden to the eyes of those who want to hang on to tradition and want to have a wild party and then 40 days of Lent and have Christ crucified on Friday when there aren't 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday. So many traditions that deny the truth, and yet you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. We praise you and thank you for this truth in Jesus' name. Amen.